Let us pray. O good and gracious shepherd, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak and the thoughts and meditations and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when we again learn to trust and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. It is one of the earliest and certainly one of the most enduring images of our Savior. Before the cross, before a manger, in the earliest caves and grottos and little house churches where those first Christians gathered, they found inscribed on the wall images of a young shepherd carrying a lamb. It was something that was readily available, resonated deeply, was very relevant to the lives of the people at that time. What a cow is to Wisconsin, a sheep was and is to much of the ancient world, and still in many places in Scotland and Spain. And here in Ontario, sheep are an economic engine, an important resource. They provide clothing, they provide milk and cheese, and they provide meat. And responsible for this precious resource was the shepherd. The good shepherd. And this became very early in the history of Israel an image for God. The true God, who is God, is the one who takes care of the flock. It's not like those false shepherds who eat from the fat of the land or exploit the people, but genuinely care. And so this image became applied to Jesus. And we know this image from the Old Testament because of that wonderful psalm we read, the 23rd Psalm. And it is in some ways ironic because for about 3,000 years we have read that psalm to bring peace and calm to our hearts through the dark passages of our lives. And yet if you read that psalm, it's a very muscular, very active psalm. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Wouldn't you like it if someone more than once a week took you aside and made you lie down in green pastures? Put your feet up for a while, for heaven's sake. Beside the still waters, not those raging torrents, but if you're going to have a drink, go to the still waters, places of calm. And this wonderful, active shepherd takes us through the dark valleys with the rod and the staff. And the rod and the staff was a tool. Through that staff, that crook in the staff, the sheep would actually be caught and gathered back to the flock, gently pulled sometimes with a little more force. Through the other side, through the staff, the shepherd would interpose himself between his flock and whatever danger confronted them. That staff being his line or her line, but mostly his line of defense. And then, of course, his own body. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. And he takes us through those dark valleys into a place of feasting and safety, a table full and the cup overflowing. And we're told resoundingly in that phrase that If you know me and have been to my Bible studies, I harp on this a lot. One phrase that is so often mistranslated in our 23rd Psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The word follow is so much better translated pursue. This is a picture of some shepherds and their flocks that I took when I was in Israel 2 years ago. It's taken in the Wadi Kelt, which is a valley that runs from Jerusalem down to the Dead Sea, Jericho. There was a little stream in the bottom of that valley, at least there is sometimes in more wet season. It was dry when I was there. And it runs into the River Jordan from Jerusalem. And it is thought that this is the dark valley that the psalmist had in mind. It is amazing because you have to understand that these shepherds not only were stewards of their flocks, but they were also stewards of the earth. On this earth day, it's good to remember our calling as shepherds. Because if you look at this valley, it was dry and fragile. And if you took a flock through it so easily, could you denude that valley of its vegetation and destroy it for generations to come? And yet, here, 3,000 years later, they're still minding their flocks in the valley of the Wadi Kelt. It's a story of conservation and learning to live with the land, these Bedouin shepherds. And those are dangerous grounds. And so sometimes they have to pursue those sheep. I think this is a wonderful thing to know, that God's love doesn't discreetly walk somewhere behind us, following passively. That word, radaf in Hebrew, everywhere else in the Old Testament is translated pursue, or sometimes translated persecute. Only here is it translated follow, and I think it leaves the wrong impression. You see, as this version, and I finally found one, and it's the most recent Jewish translation of this in the Tanakh, published in 1985. I finally found one version that translated as pursue. Only goodness and steadfast love shall pursue me all the days of my life. Told this to John Capes 2 weeks ago, just before he died, and he smiled, of course. It's nice to know, isn't it, that goodness and mercy are tracking you down. They're not waiting for you. They are after you. And it's only goodness and steadfast love. This shepherd doesn't pursue you with anything else. Only goodness and steadfast love are tracking you down, and they will find us. They have found us. For in Jesus Christ, that notion of the Good Shepherd is further defined, as we heard in both the passages from the Gospel of John and from the first letter of John today. I love that. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. 1 John 3:16 is not as often quoted, but it should be. We know love by this. Love is a hard word, isn't it? It means a lot of different things in different places and different times. And even if you use it in a noble way, it still can kind of exceed your grasp of what it means. But here, 1 John leaves us no doubt what love means. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. That is love. That is the good shepherd. Not the one who runs away when danger approaches, but the one who interposes his own body between the flock and the danger. And this is Jesus Christ. And this is why those images of that young shepherd adorn the original churches of Christians. They knew what he had done and is still doing. For between any danger and ourselves is interposed this one who tells us of the meaning of our lives and the value of our lives and the hope of our lives, which does not desert us. Do you know what a shepherd looks like? One can't help but have noticed the events going on this past week. On April 19th was the anniversary of the Columbine shootings, the first mass school shooting in the United States. And oh, how we seem to have gotten acclimatized to them since then. There have been 30 this year so far. But people came out in protest. There seems to be a wonderful event going on. And I had to love this sign, one of the protesters, "Real news, fake president." I apologize to any Republicans who are here, but I smiled at that. But more often you may have seen this sign, "Prayers and condolences," or "Prayers and thoughts are not enough. Our government officials need to take action or step down." Thoughts and prayers are meaningful, but they are not enough. So we are told in the first letter of John, "Let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action." Love, again, is defined by what we do, by who we are as we bear ourselves and live into this world. Have you laid your life down for others lately? What can that mean? What shape can it take? Remember, we only do this in response to the one who has already laid his life down for us. We do it out of gratitude. We do it out of a new identity as those who are loved by God. I like this expression of "I love you." It's the Italian version. It's usually translated simply as "I love you," but "ti voglio bene" means "I want the best for you." In Hebrew, the word "love" is, or at least one of them, and the most common one in the Old Testament, is "ahava," which means "I give to you." So love is doing for the one you love. And in Jesus Christ, love is doing for your enemy. Love is doing for the one you do not know. You know what a shepherd looks like? This looks like a mugshot. Kind of an unprepossessing individual. His name is Aaron Feiss. In many ways, Aaron is unprepossessing. He didn't get a PhD. He didn't make millions in financial services. Aaron became a security guard at the high school from which he graduated and a part-time coach on the offensive line there in football. But Aaron is a great man, and he is a shepherd. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, when the shots rang out, There were some people with walkie-talkies in that school, and one of them asked over the walkie-talkie system, are those firecrackers? And Aaron Feist said, no, they're not firecrackers, and that's the last that she heard his voice. Without staff, and without crook, he ran to the place where those shots were coming from. And a number of students describe Aaron Feist putting his body between them and that boy armed with an assault rifle. He was shot several times, taken to the hospital, and there he passed away. A good shepherd, a great man. Now, do we all have to take bullets for those we love? I hope not. I hope at some point the response to all these protests will be to lay assault rifles down and consign them to the dustbins of history. But there are other ways that we can live into this world and lay our lives down. There are going to be people working all week here at the flea market. And believe me, those funds raised and those goods go to do good work in this world. But have you given your time to someone who needs you this past week? And you give your time to someone who needs you in this coming week? To lay down your life for just a few minutes to care for someone else or to care for this earth of ours. The good shepherd who has led us into the truth of love eternal invites us to go out and shepherd this world and the beloved children of this world, those we don't know and even our enemies, that we might go through these dark valleys and that we might come to that place of feasting. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. It's a good way to be in this world, a life-giving way. It is the way of our good shepherd. Let us pray. O gracious God, free us to be stewards of our neighbors, our earth, and those we love, as we lay down our lives for them, that we might pick up our lives in joy. In Jesus' name, amen.